If you'll be here the next three mornings, I would like to, Lord willing, and as the Lord leads in the morning sessions, follow a theme. And I hope it's something that can help us and enrich our lives and bless us. Last night, I tried to say something about that word in Hebrews 13, that the Lord is our helper. We need to boldly say, He is my helper. I'm not going to fear what man will do to me. He is never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. I wholly trust in that word. I want to wholly trust in that word. I want to take it every day as a fresh and a new, Lord, you're with me. You're within me. And Lord, I'm going to stand on that word. Well, the reason why that was written to those people, and by the way, I'm not going to just talk to you the whole morning. I want your help. So you know the Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. And there's a word, that's the word that was written among many other things to these Christians, these Hebrew Christians at the time. And why was it that that was pertinent to them in their situation, these Hebrew Christians? What was happening with them and to them that they needed a word that would say this, the Lord is with you. You can boldly declare that. He is your helper. You don't have to be afraid what anybody's going to do to you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. Now, what did that specifically have to do with those people? Okay. Okay, you got the same answer that he got back there. Did anybody else not hear what they said? Do you have another reason? Yes?
I believe Nero was out to kill the Christians.
Okay, same thing. I heard it three times, so it must be true. Threefold witness, that's it. Persecution. Church was having a hard time. The church was going through persecution, and if you read some of the accounts historically about that time and what was happening, as Brother Peter said, there was opposition from the government. They would take Christians and light them as like lanterns and place them on the side. I mean, it's gruesome. It's terrible what you read about what they did to the Christian community in those days. And there were people there, Hebrew Christians, that were thinking, you know, when we were just plain good old Jews, it was a lot easier. We didn't have to put up with all this that was going on now. We didn't have to worry about our lives. We didn't have to have words, take cheerfully the spoiling of your goods you haven't yet resisted unto blood. Don't cast away your confidence, as great recompense of reward. That was all written to the Hebrews. It was written to them because they were getting ready to throw it all in. Because the opposition was so stern, so severe. And then into that comes this word, the Lord is with you. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. You can boldly say he's your helper. You don't have to fear what anybody's going to do to you. And they took encouragement from those words. They wholly trusted in those words. It was important that they did. Now, why was it? Persecution is right. Why was it they had persecution? Because the Church of Jesus Christ has a what? Okay, standards, and the standards, there's some that don't agree or like those standards, and so the Church of Jesus Christ has a opposition. We have an enemy. Now, who's the enemy? Al-Qaeda. Well, what's the new one now?
ISIS.
You say ISIS, I say ISIS. Whatever it is. ISIS, Al-Qaeda. There's our enemy. Oh, no, our enemy are the atheists. Our enemy are those guys with the ponytails. Those are our enemies. Now, wait a minute. That's not our enemy, is it? Who's our enemy?
Satan.
What do we read in the Bible? Does anybody have any Bible verses that can tell me that we wrestle not against... Oh, wait a minute, no. Do you know that one?
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 6. You can look at it. It's in there. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So that means it's not ISIS. And it's not, no, there's something else behind these people or men and women and their attitude and philosophy and stand. And there's something behind it all. What is that? Well, it's not flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities. What's a principality? Mr. Kleinberg was my principal. Is that my principal? What's a principality?
Forces.
Governments. Powers that be, prevalent powers in this world. We fight against principalities and powers, things that are antagonistic towards the kingdom of God. There's a spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That spirit is a, well, John in 1 John says it's the spirit of Antichrist. John already in his day said that spirit is already in the world. I don't know, you're looking for the Antichrist. Who's the Antichrist? Is he the guy with the blue turban in Sudan? I don't know. The Antichrist, John says, is already in the world. The Antichrist. And there's a spirit of Antichrist. And in some places, that Antichrist spirit is very strong. And the Church of Jesus Christ suffers under it, suffers persecution, duress. Sometimes it's not outward persecution against us. We don't have to worry about confiscation of Bibles or our lives imperiled. But sometimes it's just an opposition that is a spiritual opposition against us that we fight against. And it's a strong opposition. What is Revelation chapter 12? Turn there. I think it's in the last verse or next to the last verse. You read, that's really a Christmas chapter, I think it is, at least Revelation 12. It talks about Jesus Christ coming into this world. And now salvation has come after the birth of Christ. And the enemy, he gets kicked out of heaven and he falls down to the earth and so on. And then what does the enemy do when he gets there and he lands? You know what it says? Look at the end, the last, let me see. Verse 17. The dragon was enraged at the woman, that's the church, and went out to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ. Let me not wander from thy just commandments. I wholly trust in your word. Well, if that's your experience, then you have an adversary. You may not want one, but you have one. And he's making, that enemy is making war, fighting against the church of Jesus Christ, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now that, I think, includes you. I hope it includes you. And me too. So that conflict, that war, that fight that we're engaged in, not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, is a very real conflict. It didn't just start last month or 10 years ago. It's always been. The enemy makes war against the church of Jesus Christ. We're in a battle. We're in a conflict. We sing about it in many of our songs. There's a battle raging in the heavenly places, sin and death and sickness with Satan leading on. But we are more than conqueror through our leader's triumph. Let us shout the victory as we onward go. And so many songs about the conflict that we're in. Onward, Christian soldiers. Marching us to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. We're in a battle and engaged in a battle that the Bible already tells us we have by the grace of God and through Jesus Christ, we have won. The enemy is a defeated foe, but he's mad. And because of his wrath, he now makes war against you and against me. And he attacks your mind. He might attack your body. He'll attack in different ways wherever he can get in. But I'm so thankful that the Lord is with us. Amen. And he's my helper. And I don't have to be afraid what anybody's going to do to me. I don't have to fear the battle because Jesus is in me. He's with me. And I am more than conqueror. Not period. I am more than conqueror through him who loves me. And I belong to Jesus. In my own strength, but weakness I see. I need thee. Oh, I need thee every hour. Because I am in a battle. I am in a warfare. And there's the kingdom of God, Jesus said, suffers violence. And the violent take it by force. We're not in a kind of a warfare where it's, oh, well, maybe they'll shoot, maybe they won't. Listen, the enemy's going to shoot, and there's a conflict, and you've got to be ready and prepared. But the Bible tells us that we are not left as orphans. We're not left without any remedy or help in this battle. We've been given in Ephesians 6, what's it called? The armor of God. If you don't know the armor of God, read Ephesians 6 and study it. And then say, Lord, I got to put this on. I need something to cover my head. Because, man, if I get hit in the head by the enemy, that's it. I got to cover my head. So what does the Lord give you to cover your head? A helmet of salvation. You got that on? Don't leave home without it. Don't go to bed without it. The helmet of salvation. Your loins girt about with truth. A breastplate of your feet shod with the... Yeah, put it all on. Take unto yourself the shield of... Yeah, you got it, okay? You got all that. Why do we have these things? Why do you give them to me? Because I'm in a battle. That's why I'm a Christian soldier. And I have to put on, really what it boils down to is, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're impenetrable. You're not vulnerable to the prey of the enemy, of the wicked one. He can be as mad as he wants to be with you, but he's not going to win because Jesus Christ and you with him are more than conqueror through him who loved us. And so we've been given armor. We've also been given, well, what else? We've been given one another. The Bible tells us that we've been put into the family of God. Brother Peter said, church isn't the most important thing, but church is important. Yeah. And it is important, and we need one another. I asked the people in church, we sang, was it Sunday? I think it was Sunday morning in church. We sang, I need thee, oh, I need thee. And we do, that's good to sing. And then I said to them, I said, how about if we just sang that line, that first line, and you sang it to the person next to you or behind you in church? You think that would work? Would you like to do that? Is that, do you really need them? And one lady, she said, no! I said, no? That wasn't the answer I was looking for. I said, no, you don't need it? No! Well, then I guess she saw that I wasn't going that way, and so she said, well, I don't need them like I need Jesus. Well, okay, well, then I agreed with her. But you know, I need thee. I need thee. Oh yeah, I need thee. Yeah, for sure I need thee. But I need thee. And you might not think that I need thee or you need me or you need one another, but we need thee. We need one another. I'm saying this, I'm not just saying this because I'm saying it, but I need the staff. I need you young people here. With these old people, and if we're only the old, forget about it. I need thee. And I need your prayers. And I need your testimonies. And I need your participation. You don't know what it does for those old people when you speak, when you pray, when you seek the Lord. That thrills our souls and our hearts. I need thee, and I need them too, because they're the ones that are praying for us. They're the ones that are holding faith. They're the ones that are, well, they're pressing forward, and they're trusting God, and we need one another. The head can't say, or the head, that's a bad thing to you. The arm can't say to the foot, I don't need thee, because you're not the arm, you're the foot. I don't need thee. No, we need one another. And so in the kingdom of God, we've been given armor to wear. Thank God for it. We need that. And thank God we've also been given comrades, allies, people that are on the same team as we are and are pushing in the same direction. Now, we're all different, very different, from different backgrounds, from different countries, but yet one body we, and there's a kinship. We're in the family of God. I got an email yesterday from a friend that I met. He's over in Ireland. Brother Paul mentioned somebody that was in Nigeria. From all over the world, this guy from Ireland just happened into our church last March, and he stayed for about 6 weeks while he was vacationing with his family, and they came to our church, and he liked us. That's a strange thing in and of itself, but we liked him too. And he went back to Ireland, and he keeps in touch with me now and greets and says hello and how we doing and everything else, and pray for us and keep us in your faith. And then he tells a little about what's going on in his church in Ireland. And he's like a brother to me. And I trust that we in the family of God feel that unity. Love one another with a pure heart fervently. We're not fighting against each other. Sometimes we do. That's not right. Sometimes there are quarrels and schisms, and sometimes there are divisions over dopey things that don't matter at all. And we forget that the enemy is out there and he's just having a heyday and giving a round of applause when he sees Euodius and Syntyche fighting against them and one another and can't get along and agree with. They're quarreling about this and they're quarreling, oh, she sat in my seat. Oh, she sat in your seat. Yeah. And he walked by and he didn't smile when he walked by. He must be, you know, all these kinds of things that the enemy would like to. That's the way the enemy works. So subtle, so wily, he tries to get in wherever he can. He can't get in the front door, get in the back door. Can't get in the back door, get in the window. He'll get down the chimney like Santa Claus. Or he'll try to do whatever he has to do to get in. Resist the devil. Don't give him a foothold. And you've got brothers and sisters that'll help you, that'll push you, that'll spur you on. And I'm so thankful for them. I'm thankful that we have weaponry that God has also given to us. Turning your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, I think there's a verse there that might help us, where the Apostle Paul says, the weapons of our warfare, anybody know the rest of it? Okay. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Do you know what the word carnal is? What's that mean? Fleshly. They're not the kind of weapons that you would go out and fight, a battle with against some other army. It's not natural, normal kind of stuff. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So we're not fighting with machetes or hatchets or grenades or smart bombs. We're not going to use those things, but we have other weaponry given to us in this very real battle that we're engaged in, fighting together with others of like precious faith. Having put on the armor of God, now we've got these weapons to use. And they're not carnal weapons, but they are mighty weapons. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And the enemy has strongholds. Did you know that? Strongholds are where he's really got it fortified. He's really got his armies and he's got himself entrenched. I mean, he doesn't have a foothold there. He's in there, a lock, stock, and barrel. He's encamped right there. That's a stronghold. And sometimes those strongholds get into our hearts, our minds, our lives, and there are strongholds where the enemy has like a stranglehold on us and we can't get free from. But Jesus Christ, Paul says, we have weapons. They're not carnal, but they are mighty through God, and they'll even pull down those strongholds. They'll drive out those difficult places that have entrenched themselves in your life or in a particular whatever it might be, in an assembly, in a church, or whatever. God has weapons that he's given to his church. The armor of God we have. We have one another to help us and to encourage us along the way. And then here we have weapons that are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Could anybody give me or tell me a weapon that God has given that is a mighty weapon?
The word of God.
The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we've already talked about that this morning. We have the Bible. We have the scriptures. Thank God for the scriptures. When Jesus was tempted in Matthew 4, what did he use to defeat the enemy every time? It is written. Every single time he used the word of God. What other weapon do we have besides the word of God?
Prayer.
I heard somewhere. Prayer. Prayer is a mighty weapon. You know, when the meeting ends this morning, and when we go into that room to pray, that is not just an add-on frivolous little time that we spend in there. That is so important. That 4:15 prayer meeting that the staff has, was it Tuesdays and Thursdays? I don't know when it is. That used to be, I didn't like that meeting. I don't know how you feel about it, but, Brother Paul said, this isn't flattering either, but when I was on staff and I was a younger guy and I was out in the lake and swimming around or playing basketball or ping pong or whatever I was doing, and then, oh, no, it's Tuesday. You really got to go to prayer meeting now? I mean, I wanted to go to that prayer meeting, 4:15 on Tuesday, like a hole in the head. I didn't necessarily want to. I went. I had to go. I wouldn't get my ticket if they didn't go to staff. I had to go to prayer meeting. It was on there. That's it. You got to go. So I went along because it was my duty to do, and so I did it. But I hope I've changed a little bit. Those times are important for the camp. It's important for the staff. It's important to pray, to pray, to pray. It's a weapon. And the enemy knows it's a weapon, and that's why the enemy keeps us off our knees. That's why the enemy makes everything else more glamorous and more important. We'd much rather be doing anything or everything else. That's the time we need to make the phone calls. That's the time we need to visit Sister So-and-so. That time of prayer, don't neglect your time of prayer. It's a mighty weapon to the pulling down of strongholds. I heard somebody else over here say something. I don't know what I heard. Praise. Who said praise? Praise. I think so too. And that's what I'd like to talk about the next couple days. It's a mighty weapon, this weapon of praise. Just to kind of set the scene, you know the story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 where Jehoshaphat was to lead the people of God into battle? Do you know who he put in the front of that army? You know who they were?
Singers.
The singers! That doesn't make sense to me. I wouldn't put singers in the front. I'd put, well, first they'd have to be a little bit dopey to go in the front of the battle. I'd put the warriors, the fighters, the ones with the armor, and I'd put them in the front. But God said, no, put the singers in the front. Let them sing His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. And as they went and as they sang, His mercy endureth forever, the Lord sent ambushments against the enemy, and the people of God defeated the enemies through song. Can anybody think of another time when the weapon of praise, of singing, of rejoicing was used?
Jericho.
Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. And when did they come down? What did the people do right before those walls? They shouted. They shouted. I don't know what they shouted. The Bible doesn't say. If they said hallelujah, maybe, I don't know what they said. But whatever that shout, it was a shout of triumph, a shout of victory, a shout of praise. I read one article that say we're trying to explain how the walls of Jericho fell down, and they were trying to say that it was just the right vibrations and the sound decibels was so high in a pitch, and it just made the... They were racing chariots on top of those walls. That's how wide they were in some places. You're going to tell me that you can yell, scream loud enough that the wall... No. If you believe that, I got a couple bridges I could sell you. There's a shout of triumph, of victory. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. And that weapon of praise is a mighty weapon. Paul and Silas were in jail at midnight. Remember in Acts 16? And what were they doing in jail at midnight?
Singing
praises to God. And all of a sudden, singing praises to God, there started to be a shaking and a moving in that jail cell, and the chains fell off and the doors flew open, and a mighty earthquake sprang every one of those prisoners. And the outcome of it was the Philippian jailer and his household were saved and baptized that night. A church was begun in the city of Philippi. How did that happen? Because instead of complaining and moaning and groaning, the Lord is with me. I'm not going to fear what man can do to me. I'm going to rejoice because He's with me, even in this dungeon. Right, Silas? I guess if you say so, Paul. Yeah, He is with us. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. We can boldly say He's our helper. We're not going to be afraid what anybody can do to us. So what should we do? What should we do, Paul? I think we should sing, Silas. I think we should just praise God, and we should just thank Him that He's with us right here in this jail cell. Okay, let's start. You start. No, I don't know how to start. Well, let me start. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, we don't have to do the rest. I started singing that one time not long ago. I was out in California. And I started singing the hallelujah chorus and talking about praising the Lord. And the whole, there were about 500 people, and they all started singing. And so this is great. I'm not stopping. We sang the whole thing. And then later on, I started singing, Worthy is the Lamb. And nobody sang. I said, they only knew the hallelujah chorus, so we had to stop there. But I don't know if they sang the hallelujah chorus. I doubt it. It wasn't written yet. But they sang their praise to God. And what a mighty weapon praise is. sometimes I hear people talking in places that I visit sometimes, and well, who's doing worship? Who's doing praise and worship this morning? Whenever I hear that, I can't just sit there. I say, we all are. Oh, no, that's not what I mean. I mean, who's doing praise and worship? They mean, you know, which three guys have a guitar and who's playing the keyboard? They're the ones that are going to do worship. And it's okay. I mean, that's nice. That's great with three guys and a guitar and a keyboard. And they're going to get up there and they're going to sing. They're going to do worship today. You know, every one of us need to learn how to do praise and worship. Not just the three guys in the front. And we watch and we listen and they do. But God wants every one of us. He's given us and entrusted to us. Every one of us need to pray. Every one of us need to put on the armor of God. Every one of us are in this conflict. And if you don't know how to skillfully divide the word of truth, if you don't know how to use the sword of the Spirit because you don't know what's in that book, you are going to be rather handicapped in your fight against the enemy. If you don't know how to employ the weapon of praise, you're going to be handicapped in your fight against the enemy. And you're going to try the Christian life and want to live the Christian life and say the right thing to yourself, like, the Lord is with me and I don't have to be afraid. But the Lord says, okay, I'm with you, but this is what I've given to you. I've given to you my word. I've given to you the family of God. I've given to you this mighty weapon of praise. And what you need to do now is learn to use it well. Learn to use it skillfully. You got to hide God's word into your heart. There's no shortcut to that. There is absolutely no shortcut. There's no cliff notes on hiding the word of God into our hearts. We've got to memorize it. We've got to study it. We've got to take time over it. I know that there's no time. I know that you're busy. I know that school gets in the way and work gets in the way. And more and more and more and more people in our church are not working 8-hour days. They're lucky they're working 12-hour days, sometimes more than 12-hour days. One man just told me last week, I just took another job, a part-time job. After my 8-10-hour day at work, I now work another 4 hours a day. That's a lot of working. Where do you got the time? I don't know where you get the time, but you got to find the time to get God's word, to read God's word. As I guess Brother Paul said, not just, let's see. Oh, there's my verse for today. And there's my verse for tomorrow. But systematically read it, commit it to memory if you can. Get that into your soul, get those truths into your heart. Those are the weapons that God has given us, and we need to learn this weapon of praise. And sometimes we don't practice. We don't do very well with it. We do that in church for half an hour on Sunday mornings, and we're done with our praise. Hebrews chapter 4 says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to our God. Then what does he say? Continually. Do you know what the word continually means? Yeah, that means don't take a break. That means just keep on keeping on. Not just once in a while when we do praise and worship. But your life should be a life of ceaseless praise and worship. We should be offering unto God the sacrifice of praise continually. And if you don't know what that means, then the writer in Hebrews says, here's what it means. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto his name. We need to learn that. And I needed to learn that. And you need to learn that. And I need to learn it better. And it's not just saying the words. I've been in those kind of meetings too. Let's all say hallelujah 3 times. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, good. We just praise the Lord. No. That's better than nothing maybe. But dear Lord, help me to praise you with my life and by the fruit of my lips, giving thanks unto your name. And you might say, but I don't understand. Why do I have to do that? God's not deaf. I don't have to praise him out loud. The Bible says you need to. We'll look at that maybe tomorrow. The Bible says we need to, but I'm not that way. That's not the kind of person I am. I don't care what kind of person you are. The Bible says this is what you need to do, so you need to do it. Whether you think you like it and it's not your cup of tea and it's what I like or what I don't like, by God's word, I'm going to do what he wants me, what he says we will do. I'm going to follow his commands. One of his imperatives, it's a command, the last verse in Psalm 150. You know what that one is? Let everything that hath... How many people here this morning have breath? You all do? I'm not too sure about that guy over here. No. Everybody here has breath. Bad breath, good breath, breath. Whatever kind it is, I don't care. I don't know. Well, I mean, you know, I care, but I don't know if the Lord does. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Does that include you? Oh, I don't do that. I don't do praise. That's not me. I'm not that kind of a person. Yeah, let me see you at the next baseball, basketball game you go to. I'm not that kind of a person. We're all that kind of a person. The guy hits a home run in the bottom of the ninth inning and wins the game for your team. You're going to sit there and go, You'll be up on your feet with your hands raised. When's the last time you were up on your feet with your hands raised in a meeting? I don't do that. I don't do that. That's not me. I saw a clip of when the Sochi Olympics, before the Olympics in Sochi, when it was announced in Sochi, Russia, that the Olympics were going to be held in their community, their town, their little town of Sochi. I guess it's a nice place to be, though, isn't it? It's a nice resort place or something. Anyway, it was announced, and here were the people in the square waiting to hear whether it was going to be Sochi or here or there or wherever, and they announced it was in Sochi. Every one of them. What were they so happy about? What were they doing? They didn't just stand there saying, Lord knows it's in here. We're kind of made to worship. Anybody ever go to Coney Island on July 4th? You know what they have at Coney Island on July 4th? They have a lot of things at Coney Island on July 4th, but we have Nathan's hot dogs. The original Nathan's hot dog was there. They have the Nathan's hot dog eating contest at July 4th. And I don't know how many that guy can eat. Anybody remember? I don't know how many. They call it the yellow belt, the mustard belt. And he can eat, I don't know, 60 hot dogs in 12 minutes or whatever. And you see them shoving it down, and it's right there. And there are hundreds of people watching. And then you see the people that are watching, and what are they doing? They're there even. Whoa, look at them. And you see all this exuberance and this joy over a hot dog contest, over the Olympics being announced in your community, over a home run at a baseball game, and go on and on from there, wherever there's elation and joy and something that evokes that. How much more we as God's people have a reason to shout and to sing? We have a reason to say praise the Lord, hallelujah. We have a reason to celebrate because Jesus Christ, well, he's with us. He's never going to leave us or forsake us. And in the battle and the conflict that we're in, we're not left without weapons. We're not left without help. But he's given us his armor. He's given us his word. He's given us these tools. And he's given us this mighty weapon of praise. Now, just in closing, let me just mention this yet. In the Bible, in our Bible, my Bible, English Bible, that word praise is sometimes translated bless the Lord or praise the Lord, or sometimes it says hallelujah. It's generic mostly because in English we don't have as many words as they have in Hebrew. Hebrew, they break it down, and Greek too, and you know the word love. You've all heard about love. Well, in Greek there are three words for love. You know what they are? Agape. That's the one that we want. That's the God's love. That's the good. What else do they have? Phileo, that's the Philadelphia, the friendship kind of love. And what else? Eros. And there are three words in Greek for what we just all call love, love, love. And you know, so when we say in English, we love, we know what we're talking about. But they break it down. Well, in Hebrew, they break down the word praise into more component parts. And in the Old Testament, there are seven different words that are translated in our English Bible for praise. And they're all very different. And the Bible teaches us that this is what praise is. This is what we're supposed to be doing when we praise the Lord. Praise isn't singing and swaying. It can be. Praise could be down on your face and not saying a word before God. Praise could be reaching out with your hands. And there are two Hebrew words for praise that have the extended hand. One is the extended hand to bless the Lord, and one is the extended hand to receive from the Lord. And they both are talking about praise. There are seven different kinds of praise. And the Bible tells us that we need to learn to use this weapon of praise, and we need to praise the Lord all the time, and we need to do it by the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And so I want to learn better how to praise the Lord. I want to learn better what that means when the Bible says, praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. What's it talking about? Does it mean I'm supposed to sing, or I'm supposed to get down on my face? Does it mean I'm supposed to lift up my hands, or does it mean I'm supposed to get my musical instrument and start playing? What is praise? Well, I hope to, in the next couple days, just go through those seven words. And maybe we can then look at ourselves and say, Lord, okay, I'm in a battle, I'm in a conflict. I need your word, I need my brothers and sisters, I need thee, and you're with me, and you're never going to leave me. But Lord, I need to learn to better use this weapon that you've given me. I've been given tools before. I've been given tools sometimes I didn't even know what the thing was. I'm supposed to use this tool. I don't even know how to use it. Which end is up? Which end do you use? Give some people a baseball bat, they don't know which end to hold. The thick end or the skinny end? Which end do you use? If you don't know how to use the tool, you're going to be in a bad way. If we don't know how to use the tool, we all know what the tool is. Here's what we have. Here's the weapon. But if we don't know how to use it, we're not going to do very well. So may God help us. I trust that He will. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Father, we thank you this morning. That, Lord, in the conflict and battle that we're in, that you're with us. And that you've given us help, Lord. And we need that help. I need that help. Lord, the enemy is out to steal and to kill and to destroy. But you have come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And, Lord, we pray that you will give us victory. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for everyone who are here. Thank you for those in the family of God that we worship with and that we join together with and that we encourage and that encourage us, that help us along the way. Thank you. Thank you for your excellent word. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for those truths that we have. And we pray that we might be better equipped to use that word of truth. We thank you, Lord, for this weapon of praise. And I ask, Lord Jesus, I don't just want to learn to switch up my praise the Lord's with my hallelujahs. But Lord, I want to learn to worship you in spirit and in truth. I want to learn to praise you with my whole heart. I want to learn what that means, Lord. I want to learn what it is. And I need you to teach me. Teach me, Lord. Lord, it's so simple. It's such an easy thing to do, perhaps. But yet, Lord, we want to do it well in God by the anointing of your Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we pray that you'll teach us, teach us, teach us, and enable us and help us, O God. Dear Lord Jesus, that we might praise the Lord and that we might use it as a weapon that will open up the prison doors, that will defeat the enemy. Lord, we thank you for this weapon that you've given to us. And we pray that we might use it well. And that you might help every one of us to offer to you a sacrifice of praise continually. Continually. Lord, this throughout the whole day, continually, may our lives be lives of ceaseless praise. And may our mouth be filled with praise unto our God. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you'll be with us throughout the day, whether we go back to the kitchen or to our duties or wherever we might be off to, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to just keep in touch with you, rejoicing all day long. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless those that can gather next door and use this weapon of prayer. Teach us to pray, Lord, to pray in the Holy Ghost, not just to say prayers. Not just to offer a prayer or something, send up something towards heaven and hope it hits the mark. But Lord, give us prayer. Prayer in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Oh, dear Lord, what weapons you've given to us in this battle. And we thank you that they are mighty through God. And so may we use them well. And may your name be glorified. We ask it in Jesus' precious name, and we thank you for it. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. We're dismissed. I hope you can stay.